Good morning. We all have been at crossroads in our life before. This is a point where we are faced with decisions that will impact our lives. It could be a marriage, a new job opening, whether to go for a medical procedure or to enroll in a study. We have all been faced with many choices. What do we do? The situation may be something like what you see there. You come to the crossroads. And obedience is a choice. It is a choice between our own limited knowledge and power and God's unlimited wisdom and omnipotence. My message today is divided into five parts taken from Joshua 24:15. First, I will give some examples of obedience from the Old Testament and New Testament, and then we will look at obedience with choice, the freedom to choose, wisdom in our choice, and then I'll conclude. Let's look to God in prayer. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the Father of all comfort. We want to pray that your Holy Spirit, our comforter and advocate, will guide us as we seek to obey you in our daily life. Give us the strength to make choices that are in accordance with thy will, O Lord. We want to pray and ask all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last Sunday, Reverend Gunn preached on joy robbers, things that rob us of the joy in our lives. He highlighted the first one as sin and disobedience. Sin is a transgression against God, and to transgress means simply to violate a command or law. And to disobey means refusal to do with what authority tells you to do. The opposite of disobedience is obedience. And sin and obedience are closely related. To illustrate, I want to read a short section of an article I wrote last month. It's taken from 2 Chronicles chapter 15, 1 to 17. And it goes like that. About 3,000 years ago, King Asa was challenged by the prophet Azariah to be on the Lord's side as he returned from his victorious pursuit of the Ethiopians. But the nation of Judah had not been right with the Lord by turning to strange gods and idols. After the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, he said, "The Lord is with you while ye be with him, and if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you." It's quite similar to what we read in Joshua earlier. And this is a constant refrain in the Bible. If we follow the Lord, he'll be found of you. If we forsake him, he will leave us. And our joy will go with it. The Bible records for us that King Asa responded in obedience, and the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. King Asa, when confronted with his sin, made a choice. He repented and responded in obedience. He chose to obey the Lord, and as a result, the Lord restored the joy in his heart. King Asa had to make a difficult choice. If you turn to verse 16, let me turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 16. Verse 16 tells us that he had to remove his mother, Maacah, as queen because she had made an idol in the grove. Verse 16 says, "And also concerning Maacah, the son of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in the grove. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it at the brook Kidron. Obedience is an expression of our love for the Lord. It desires to fulfill every command and therefore does not make a hard demand. Obedience begins with choices, as I read earlier in the first slide. By the way, that slide was taken from, I was looking at that internet, and that summary came up. It's taken from one of the elders in one of the churches. It's very, very amazing, right? So this choice is evident in our memory verse, where Joshua have to make a choice. Joshua 5, verse 15, chapter 24, says, Choose you this day, whom ye will serve. Joshua knew that we need to choose to exercise obedience. We read earlier the first 8 verses, and then subsequently some of the verses. After he completed the conquest of the promised land, he assembled the nation, the new nation of Israel, in Shechem, which was in the valley between Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. Moses earlier had assembled the Israelites in the same place after they were given the Ten Commandments. They had spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness because of their disobedience, rebellion, and sin. It was recorded for us in Deuteronomy chapter 11 that God had instructed Moses to command half the people to stand on Mount Gerizim, G stands for good, and the other half to position itself before on the other, on Mount Ebal, E stands for evil. That's how I remember it. Each group was to shout either blessings from Mount Gerizim or curses from Mount Ebal. Israel would experience either blessings or curses as a result of their response to God's law. As their shouts echoes in the mountains, Joshua reminded them of their promise to affirm their obedience to God. As a witness of their reaffirmation, Joshua set up a stone there. We read that just now. Apparently, the stone is still there. If you visit Israel, they say they will bring us there in some of the websites. So there are some writings on the stone, which is what Joshua apparently put there. So Joshua 24 verse 15 is also a reminder for us to reaffirm our obedience to serve only the Lord. We need to be reminded of our choice to serve the Lord. The Israelites responded that they will serve the Lord and obey him in response to Joshua's challenge. Let's read verse 24 again. Very short verse. Joshua chapter 24, verse 24. Together. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. The Bible is full of examples of disobedient individuals, starting from Adam and Eve. Even Moses himself, who struck the rock instead of speaking to it as God commanded him, and many others. We can remember our own disobedience, some of it vividly. Some we may try and dismiss and forget. But these acts of disobedience bring guilt, sadness, and shame because we chose our own way. Disobedience is rebellion against authority. For a child of God, it is rebellion against God's instruction. The choice of disobedience, the choice of obedience, is blessed with a heart filled with joy and peace, because we know that the Lord is pleased with us. We may be ridiculed when we choose to obey, to follow God's instruction. Another example from the Old Testament is Noah. He's an example of one who chose obedience to God over conformity to the world around him. He did not let anything hinder him in obeying God's instruction to build an ark. If you read Genesis chapter 6, it's quite long, so we shouldn't read it, but I would think it's good to go back and read it. You'll find that Noah had absolute trust in God. He had made up his mind, again a choice, to obey God. This is summarized in Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. We just read one verse. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. This is the last verse. Let's read together. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him. So did he. That's what he did. Noah is vindicated and he is honored for his obedience in the halls of fame, halls of faith, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Are you being tested now to choose between obeying God's word or trusting in your own strength or to conform to the world? In your workplace or study, do you face pressure to follow the ways of the world? The chapter after what we just read, Hebrews 12, tells us the first part, that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses who had gone on before us. We can look to them for encouragement and assurance. Mount Gerizim was again mentioned in the Bible, in the New Testament, and I think it's God's providence Brother Steve mentioned about the Samaritan woman at the well and the hymn we just sang. We just sang about the living waters. We did not know each other what we would choose for our hymns. But when he chose a hymn earlier, that's what I'll be sharing with you. So there in a town called Sychar, Jesus met a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. And when he asked her for a drink, she was incredulous because the Jews and the Samaritans have no dealings with each other. And in the conversation that followed, Jesus offered her living water that whosoever drinketh of would never thirst. She told Jesus that the Samaritans had been worshipping God at Mount Gerizim. The Jews worship in Jerusalem. So she thought that this would be sufficient for her. But Jesus told her that one must worship God in spirit and in truth. In response, she responded in repentance and accepted Jesus' offer of living water. We know that she made the right choice, because given in John chapter 4, verse 39, you can turn to that verse if you want. John chapter 4, verse 39. It says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified, 'He told me all that I ever did, all that ever I did.'" We must repent and act in obedience in order to receive the blessings of joy and peace. Freedom to choose. When we talk about choice, it implies that we have freedom to exercise it. And we all like this idea of freedom because we want to be masters of our own lives. Therefore, we think that obeying God is not pleasant because it will be mindless and we will be like robots. And this is especially unappealing to a generation of self-willed, where self-will and fulfilling our own desires have been elevated above all else. Yet Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, in our prayer meeting from this week onwards, we'll be starting to share on the book of Galatians. I do encourage you all to come for a prayer meeting. Galatians is a fantastic chapter. And Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 said, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty whereby, wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Paul is referring to the bondage of sin. The world's thinking of freedom is to be able to determine our own standards in order to be considered being fully human. They will tell you, it's your own body, you make your own choice. It's your own this and that. You can choose, and God is out of the equation. That's the first step to disobedience. This results in resistance to authority in moral matters, which is causing a deep divide in society. You just need to turn to today's newspaper, first page, and you will know what I mean. I give you two illustrations from Timothy Keller. He's a very good writer. In his book, The Reason for God and Why People Turn Away from Christianity, one of it is that young people believe that being a Christian is like a straitjacket, and your choices are limited. You can't do this, you can't do that. And he gave two illustrations to see how this is incorrect. If you have some musical aptitude, you may give yourself to practice for some years on a musical instrument. You need to practice for quite long. We only need to ask Daniel how long he practiced. Must be 4 years, or James. All our musicians spend years training on the instrument. This requires discipline and limits your freedom. He wants to go out, he said, "No, I think I have better practice my piano." But this discipline and limitation will unleash their ability to play the most beautiful pieces of music subsequently. What you have done is deliberately lose your freedom in order to release yourself to richer kinds of freedom, to accomplish other things. This is the same in the spiritual realm. Obedience to God, the discipline to do so, will give us the freedom to do other things, greater things. Imagine if the choir were to come up here and sing and they have no training. There will be complete chaos. Everybody will be singing his own tune. Another argument why we need to exercise some constraint on our freedom is in the law of nature. Discipline and constraints liberates us when they fit with the reality of our nature and capacities. A fish, because it absorbs oxygen from water rather than air, is only free if it's restricted and limited to water. If you put it out on grass, is freedom to move, and even to live is not enhanced, but destroyed. The fish will die if we do not honor the realities of its nature. So our freedom must be within the moral nature that we are created. Similarly, man is created by God to be a moral creature. We are constrained to act within this nature. God created man for a purpose, and that is to serve him, as we read earlier from Joshua. This is highlighted by Joshua, and if we exercise our freedom outside this nature, we are doomed. Our choices can only lead to rebellion and death. As I said earlier, turn to the newspaper, not only page one, if you read a little bit, starting Sunday, reading the newspaper is not a good thing. You get very depressed by all the immoralities, God, man's depravity all around us. C.S. Spurgeon wrote, "The first thing God requires of his child is obedience." In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, Saul was commanded to slay utterly all the Amalekites and their cattle. Instead of doing so, he spared King Agag, and he excused his disobedience by declaring that he did it with a view of offering sacrifice to God. The prophet Samuel answered him and said, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." The consequence of his disobedience was tragic. Instead of repenting, as in the case of the Samaritan woman, he continued to disobey God and strayed further and further from the Lord. The Bible tells us that he finally was killed in a battle with the Philistines. Not only him alone, but his three sons as well. So we need to know the consequence of disobedience. And we need to ask God for wisdom in making choices. As a Christian, we only have two choices. We either follow God, or you can follow every other way. We saw that in the first slide also. The decisions we made are acts of the will, and they will always be influenced by the mind, the emotion, or both. The decisions we make actually reflect the desires of our heart. Luke chapter 12, verse 34, as well as Mark 6:31, tells us, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Luke chapter 12, verse 34 is easier to remember also, right? 1, 2, 3, 4. Therefore, a key question before making a decision is, do you choose to obey God, or you choose to please yourself? And in Joshua, he set the standard for us. He said, the one that you commit to memory is an extract. There are some before and some after, some portion before and after that. Before that it says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua trusted in the goodness of God and chose to please him first in his decision. Do you believe in the goodness of God? Note the immediacy in the verse, "this day." We cannot procrastinate. We can say, tomorrow I'll think about it. or we delay our obedience. We have to make the choice now and then. This does not mean that we act rashly, but it means we act decisively. As sinners saved by grace, we all struggle with sin daily. Even the great Apostle Paul himself described the struggle he had in Romans chapter 7, verse 19. Let's turn to that. Romans chapter 7, verse 19. This struggle is very real for some of us who allows God's Holy Spirit to prompt us. Well, no. If you have this struggle, it's good. It means that you are responding to God's still small voice. If you don't have this, you should start worrying. He says, Paul himself said, "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." We take comfort that God has promised us that He will help us. So this struggle is not alone. In James chapter 1, verse 5, it tells us that He gives us the wisdom we need. James knows that this is not easy. Just like King Asa knows that it's not easy to chase your mother out, or rather throw away all her idols. Because in verse 2, he said, "Count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations." Again, alluding to the struggle that Paul mentioned in Romans. At times, we will be torn between our own desires and following God's word. We are not to be double-minded. So in conclusion, this is a short message. Obedience always begins with a choice and acting on it. We need to trust in God to guide us for wisdom in making our choice. This will result in blessings, even though at times it may be hard. As we choose to submit in obedience, we will grow to conform closer to the image that God wants us to be. And to quote from C.S. Lewis again, quite long, but it's worthwhile reading, especially the part in red and the part in white. It says, "Every time you make a choice, you are turning the central part of you, the part of you that chooses, into something a little different than it was before. And taking your life as a whole, with your innumerable choices, all your life long, you're slowly turning this central thing into a heavenly creature or a hellish creature. Either into a creature that is in harmony with God and with other creatures and with itself, or else into one that is in a state of war and hatred with God and with its fellow creatures and with itself. To be the one kind of creature is heaven. That is, it is joy and peace and knowledge and power. To be the other means madness, horror, idiocy, rage, impotence, and eternal loneliness. Each of us at each moment is progressing to the one state or the other. And we all have a choice. Choose ye this day whom you will serve." Let us be determined in our daily obedience to God's word and thereby grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for freeing us from the bondage of sin and giving us the liberty that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we will use this liberty to choose to live in obedience to serve you. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.